Welcome back, friends. This is the Good Midlife Podcast. We are back. We are both in Louisville tonight. It is beautiful in Louisville. This is the time of year to be here. Right now, through the Kentucky Derby, this is the best city in America. I stand behind that. So I am Jim Noland. I am here. I'm excited. He is Richard Kinchlow. He is reporting from his home base. Richard, how are you tonight?
I'm good. I'm good.
Just, good.
Another beautiful day in the bluegrass.
It is. Windy today. Going to be a little cool this weekend, but we've had great weather. The trees are blooming. Everything's getting green. Spring is here. So pretty excited about that. Before we jump into all the things, let's reset. You can find us at the Good Midlife Podcast on Instagram. You can find Richard, follow his food blog on Kinch and Crew on Instagram. You can get to us at thegoodmidlife@gmail.com. You can also follow us on Facebook. We're The Good Midlife. We are here. We thank everybody for listening. We got kind of into the weeds last week with some basketball stuff. We promised not to do that today, but we got a lot of listens. We got a lot more listens on last week's show than I thought we might. So I appreciate everybody for listening. All domestic, though. Nobody jumped in on that from Singapore or points across the pond. But anyway, appreciate all of that, and thanks for listening. Keep following us. We're going to have some great content coming up. Speaking of great content, Richard, now we've got a loser for the wing challenge that we've got to get to. How's it coming with setting up a schedule for Cole to come on the show?
Well, I should be getting a timeline for him, and he was asking questions about what the format might be, and what he wanted to know if we were gonna give him the questions prior to the show. I told him this was not 60 minutes. And
right. This
was not Watergate. It was just wings. And he kind of laughed. Yeah. And so, but yes, Watergate is coming for the Asher boys. Look forward to that. So, yep, that should be happening soon. So he should be giving me a couple of dates by the end of the week.
Awesome. I cannot wait to set this up and get that out there. And you guys will be able to follow that on our YouTube channel. We'll have video of that. I'm hoping we can catch something that'll be viral and amazing. So we'll see how it goes. You boys are on the clock. Get ready. One thing we like to do is talk about what's been going on in our lives over the weekend. Did we do anything cool? I'm going to touch base with you. I'm going to let you kick it off, Richard. I know you didn't have an alphabet eating situation this weekend, but you had a project, right?
I did. I had a honey-do list and working on two things in our backyard. One is we have a concrete pad in our backyard that the previous owners decided to pile a bunch of dirt on. And it was like growing grass and stuff like that. And it was like we discovered that there was a pad back there because we have a driveway going back there and with nothing on it. So started clearing off that manually, like dumping dirt into garden bags and then wheeling them out to the street to be taken up on Mondays. So I've been doing that. And then the other thing is Maisie and I built we lost our gate in the storm about, I guess it was about a month and a half ago. And, or it just got whoppy-sawed and excuse me, getting all choked up about this. But we built a gate, and Maisie went out and got some it was supposed to be a gate that you could build in an hour. Well, 12 hours later, over like two weekends, basically we finally finished it. We survived. We didn't kill each other, and it was all good. So we built a gate.
I built a swing set for my kids that was supposed to just take 4 hours, and it was the same kind of a process. It's all of those woodworking projects that say, do it in an hour, do it in four. It's bananas. It's crazy. So kudos to you for measuring twice and cutting once. So it went well. You all didn't kill yourselves, each other. You know, I've never built a gate with my spouse, so it was a good time.
Yeah. It was a good time. There was definitely some. Is it even? Maybe. Is it evenly spaced? I can't confirm or deny that. But it's up, and now we just got to put the latch on so it'll latch. There's a couple things we need to fix it. So it the past couple of nights, we've had some wind over the past couple of days, and I got a little concerned with it in the middle of the night, like, oh God, we're going to lose another one because the wind was so bad, and we had those like pop-up thunderstorms.
Yeah.
But yeah, so gate has been built, and whoever said it could be done in an hour or two or something like that should probably be kicked in the head.
Yeah. Yeah. I like to use the phrase even enough when I'm doing something like that. Is it even enough?
I think that's what Maisie
close enough.
Used actually.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's even enough.
Yeah. Well, it's like I looked out the window the other day and I looked out and I was like, hey, look, I was like, look at the gap between that board and that board. It was like a little big, but hey, it's done. It's up. And that's all
And
I
you
needed.
didn't, and you paid $0 for labor. So pat on the back for that. Nice work.
Yeah. Yeah. Next time I will pay labor though.
Yeah. Right. Right. Yeah. Every project like that. Yeah. I'm going to do this myself. And then you're like, what in the hell am I doing? I'm 50 years old. I can pay somebody a couple $100 to knock this out for me. So yeah, exactly right. So I'm with you on that. I've got a couple of projects like that. I'm getting ready to outsource. So my weekend was interesting. It was, I did a lot of work. I did a lot of work around the house too.
You were a bachelor though, right?
I was a bachelor. Elizabeth was out of town. And I had McKinley here with me. So, you know, Friday night, sat on the couch and watched some Shogun with the dog, and he likes it. Elizabeth doesn't like that show. And Ted was just fine with it. He likes the Japanese feudal lords going at it. Saturday, got up and did a ton of little projects. Cut the grass, did some errands, got a haircut, just this and that, all the stuff. And then went to Keeneland, which is God's favorite racetrack. If you know anything about horse racing, you know that that is a fact. Most beautiful track in America. I love that place. It is springtime, and took the kids, McKinley, his girlfriend Leah, who's been on the show, and Katie, my daughter, who was in town for the weekend, and we did that. Mac hit a couple of nice tickets. I hit a couple of small tickets. It was fine. The beer was cold. The sun was out. It was as crowded as you'll ever see it for not being Bluegrass Stakes Day. It was packed out, but had a great time with that. Sunday, just a lot of work around the house, just, you know, just stuff without getting into detail, just stuff you got to do. And then I wrapped it up about 2:30 and sat down and watched the Masters for the rest of the afternoon. So it was a nice weekend, but it was kind of weird for me this weekend. We'll go down a road here. I felt really old this weekend. Do you ever have moments like that? And I don't mean physically old, but just feeling like I'm a little bit older than I used to be. Do you get that sometimes? It was, this weekend was what really punched me, because I first of all, I went to Keeneland. I'm the old guy with the young people who are all college age, and normally it doesn't bother me, but this time I was like, damn, I feel so damn old. And my daughter was in town, and it was very quick, and I don't get to see them much, and I miss them both terribly. And so just a real quick visit from her. And then, you know, just alone at home a lot, because once we got back from all those things, McKinley was doing his thing. I'm just in this big old house with the dog. And it reminded me a lot of my days from being a single dad with two kids, and they would be with me for a week and then they'd go to their moms. And when they were with their moms, I was working all the time. And when they were with me, they were with me doing stuff. But, you know, I always had the empty house. And so it was kind of sad being in the house alone. But if you think back to those times, you're always going to remember the good times, right? Like, you think about the empty house, but I thought a lot about all the stuff I did with the girls and all of the stuff that I did on my own time that was very fun. And so went kind of back down that. And I'm telling you, if you go back 10 or 12 years, and I would say our age cohort, go back and listen to music from like 2011, 12, 13, rock, pop, indie, alternative, all that stuff. It was, that music was better than it is now anyway. That's just objectively true. It actually probably is, but that's not me being an old man either. Like if you go back to like 2001, like 2011, 12 is better. Anyway, divergence, digression. Listen to that. You will feel 1,000 years old, and it's fine. It's good. You know, we do this show. One of the reasons I wanted to do this show was to celebrate this time of our life and really getting after it and being active And I also wanted to be real. I wanted us to be friends of our listeners and not just voices on the other end. So I'm sharing this as I went through that. And so, you know, listen to music. I was really just kind of like Monday when I was like, man, I feel old. I feel the weight of the years piling up on me a little bit. And then, you know, you get to the end of the day and what can you do? So I made a mint julep and I went outside with my dog and my wife and my guitar and I felt a little bit better. But as I thought about that, I'm very lucky. I know that. And 70-year-old me would probably look back at 50-year-old me if I get to 70-year-old me and say, dude, you're everything's great. You ain't that old. You're getting it done. But there are moments where it does feel like time is passing you by and time is undefeated. And I will say that I used to kind of clown on people who were younger and were wistful for something in the past. But I actually think that passage of time and the weight of time hits you regardless of how old you are. You could be 22 years old and just, you know, remembering the good times of sitting on your couch watching SpongeBob. And, you know, I hear kids, young people talk about things like that. And I want to like clown on them. But thinking about that this weekend, I had this revelation that 10 years for anybody is 10 years, man. And you start to feel it. You start to feel it piling up. So I'm good now. I was kind of in it a little this weekend. I thought about a lot of that stuff. And, you know, there were a lot of precipitating factors, being alone, seeing my daughters, you know, those kinds of things. But I'm good. And I felt like sharing that because I feel like we all probably feel that way sometimes. And again, transparency. I want the listeners to hear us and think they know us and feel like they know us and feel like we're close. And so that was my weekend. So a little deeper than what we normally do on the show, but that's it. Do you have anything that makes you feel particularly old, generally, Richard, that hits you every now and then?
Yeah, I think there's probably a couple things like, you know, it's funny. I heard a very interesting quote, like, the guy who plays Reacher on, I think it's Alan Richman or Richardson or something like that. He was talking about like how it's just like, it's now it's not only drinking that makes you feel old or tired and everything else. It's like food you eat and everything. Like,
yeah.
It's like after, it's like, it's weird. There are times where it's like, I'll see, like, I'll go to like a Keeneland or something and I'll look around and I'll feel like, hey, I'm not that old. And reality is I am that old. And I mean, it's like little things like that kind of remind me when I'm old, or when it's like 3 o'clock in the afternoon, I'm tired. But certain events. I mean, it's just like going to with a lot of young people and looking around, and I feel old from time to time for sure.
Well, you know what got me?
Or
started.
My wife tells me, like, oh, I was this age at this time. Yeah. That's another thing.
That doesn't help.
That doesn't help at all.
What got me rolling on this? You mentioned like Keelan, like I was putting sunscreen on my head. McKinley and I were putting on sunscreen. And I said, Katie, take a picture of us putting on sunscreen to send to Elizabeth because she's, you know, very concerned about us, wants to make sure we're putting on our sunscreen. So I was like, just send this and say, here's your boys putting on sunscreen. And the picture of me putting sunscreen on my head, I looked like I was as old as Vern Lundquist on the Masters on Sunday. I looked like an old man. And I was like, holy shit. Like, you got to be kidding me.
That is funny. That is funny.
That's what got me going. And then, you know, and then all the other stuff. And this afternoon, you know, I was, I've got a daughter graduating high school this year. Sophie is, she graduates this year. So one of their, they're doing a slideshow for graduation. So she asked for some photos from her in elementary school to use in that. So that was really fun. But I found one. You were out on a run and you texted me, but I found one that I took of the girls and sent to you. And we were on a plane, the girls and I think were coming back from New York City, and I had them each hold up their copy of Sky Mall, and I took a photo of that and sent it to you. I found that today, and it was very, very enjoyable for me.
You sent that to me today?
No, I sent it to you. I sent it to you in 2013.
Oh, yes. Oh,
I found that photo. I found it today. My two little kids, and so you were on your run, or I would have sent it then. But I'm going to send it when we get off here because it just cracked me up. It was very
good.
That
is hilarious. I can't wait to see that for sure.
But anyway, all the things we were doing 10, 12 years ago, it was a lot of fun. And I'll tell you this, I don't think it matters. I think you could be married for 25 years or you could have been married three times in 10 years. or you could have the same job or you could have a different job. But I feel like if you sit back and think about it, look at pictures, listen to music, you will realize that everything has changed. Even though those structural pieces are still there, everything's different. And
for sure, for sure.
Time
most definitely
marches on. Well, speaking of, let's segue out of that into something awesome. I talked about Derby time. It is almost Derby time in the Bluegrass. Thunder over Louisville Saturday night kicks off the Derby Festival. And then we got a lot of fun stuff going on. Now, I'm assuming you're not going to Thunder. Is that right?
I will be out of town for most of the day. The good news is I can kind of see the planes right outside my door. I mean, it's just like I'm on the approach of the airport. So that is fun. But no, I'm not going down to Thunder. Are you guys?
No. No, McKinley has two proms this weekend, so we're tied up with all of that. And honestly, it's kind of a young person's game. I don't want to be in that in the middle of traffic. And it's just, that's another thing. You're kind of older, right? Like if I was 22, I would be like, let's go. Let's get it. Let's have some drinks.
Let's drink watch the fireworks. All day and yep, watch airplanes and then watch fireworks at night. Yeah,
absolutely. Absolutely. I would totally be there. But now I feel like I might watch a little bit of it on TV. I might not. And go on. Anyway, it's the biggest fireworks show in North America, if you don't know that, friends, and it's so good. It really is amazing. Look it up. Find it on YouTube. It's pretty darn cool. They close one of the bridges across the river and shoot fireworks off of that.
Two bridges.
They shoot off one, and then you can't have traffic on the other one, I think.
Yeah.
And so, barges in the river.
It's amazing.
It is.
I remember when it's like I wasn't living here, and everybody's like, oh, you need to see this. I was like, it's fireworks. What's the big deal?
That's what I thought.
And then all of a sudden you're like, oh my gosh, this is something completely different.
It is. And if you're standing down near the water, you feel the ground shake. It is something to behold. It is a really cool experience. Very cool. The city does a great job putting that on. I'm really proud of where we live when that thing's going off.
Yeah, now, for sure.
Are there any other Derby Festival events that you are looking forward to? Anything you like? I mean, there's so many cool things, you know, the steamboat race and the bed race and the marathon and all kinds of stuff.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's just all the way around. It's just kind of a fun kind of weekend. I mean, a couple of weeks in Louisville. I think Thunder definitely has. I used to run the half marathon a lot. I haven't done that in a long time. Maybe that's something I'll try to do again in 2025, maybe. But the Chow Wagon is always an entertaining event. I mean, there used to be a Garden and Gun bourbon party that was kind of fun. I don't know if they're doing that anymore, but so there are little events like, I mean, hanging out with friends.
The hot air balloon race is cool.
Hot air balloon. I mean, the boat race is kind of cool in itself.
It is. It's fun. Let's talk about the Chow Wagon for a minute, because I haven't been to that in years. And I think we're going to go next Friday night. So if you're interested, here's the draw. From 5 to 7, we get free Ohio Valley Wrestling. 6 matches at the Chow Wagon. I'm going. It's for those of you, if you've listened to the show, you know, Ohio Valley Wrestling was the subject of the documentary Wrestlers on Netflix. It's owned by a couple of Kentuckians. It's professional wrestling. It's ridiculous. I've been wanting to go since I watched the doc. I think we're going to go down and watch some OVW wrestling if the weather's good. So Richard and all of my Louisville friends, come on, let's get after this.
Sounds delightful.
Right? Don't you think Maisie would enjoy wrestling?
Well, her brothers used to like wrestling, so I can ask her about this. Yeah, I think it might be a good idea.
Elizabeth was kind of opposed to the wrestler documentary. She's like, let's try it. And then like 5 minutes in, she was like, okay, this is awesome. And she's the one that sent to me. She's like, should we go to this? Yes, we should. So
yes, honey. Yes, we should.
We're going. So pretty excited about that. And then it all ends with the big race, the Kentucky Derby. I think I'm going to go Oaks Day. I still don't have tickets. Everything is so expensive this year. It's really crazy. So I'm kind of like holding out and hoping for some price fluctuations or for, you know, somebody that I know to, you know, somebody in their party gets sick or whatever, but and bails out. But I'm going to, start working through a little handicapping. I'll have some picks for you guys next week because I don't know that we'll be able to get a good show up with a lot of time before Derby. So I'll give you guys just kind of my overall picks next week. I will tell you right now, at this moment, I will be shocked if Fierceness is not the morning line favorite. The race that horse ran in the Florida Derby was something. And Sierra Leone won the Bluegrass. It's going to be really one of the favorites for sure. They run in totally contrasting styles. Fierceness wants to push the pace, go wire to wire. Sierra Leone is a closer coming late and has a lot of gas and wants to run. So I like those two horses a lot, but I'll get you guys some more stuff next week as we get a little bit closer. So we'll have that to look forward to for the first weekend of May. So since we last spoke, we're going to shift gears here hard, but Big Blue Nation has hired a new basketball coach. And we're not going to spend a long time on this because we talked a lot about it last week. You know, your boy might have called it on the show last week when we were picking our making our bets. I mean, I might have said Mark Pope's name, but we got Mark Pope. And we've gone through some ups and downs thinking through this. Richard, how have you settled on it right now? Right now.
I think I'm still on a wait and see. I mean, it's as a friend of mine said to me, it's just like now we just got to sit down and embrace it. I think the only question mark I still have is recruiting. It sounds like he can coach. I'm still peeved at Cal and Barnhart, and now it sounds like the Boosters on top of it. But I just think it's a wait and see game. It's like, I hope it's not our Kenny Payne. I don't think it will be, but you never know. I mean, honestly. So, it's just a wait and see. I mean, it's going to be a very interesting couple of years. So,
yeah, I feel good about it. The guy can coach and, he killed the press conference and everybody's going to love him. They've already committed $4 million in NIL money. So
that's one person, mind you.
Yeah. Yeah. So we're going to be fine, I think. And I think next year's team is going to be really fun to watch. I don't know what we're going to have, but he likes to run a lot, shoot a lot, kind of like the early Patino years here at Kentucky. So everybody who wanted offense, I think we got it. So I'm pretty excited about that. But like you said, nothing to do but wait and then go play and see what happens. So we will take a 20 on that and come back to that in the fall as we get ramped up for the basketball season. Another thing, you know, we wanted to talk about, I was on vacation recently and I wanted to talk about a couple of things. We were going to have Shay on and then the basketball news broke, so we didn't get into that. But I went to Destin, Florida, and, you know, I had not thought of that as my favorite place. I've been there once or twice, and I like that panhandle area, whether it's Gulf Shores or Apalachicola, you know, Port St. Joe, Cape San Blas. But Destin has always been a little bit crowded for my taste. But we ended up in a nice spot that was out of the crowds to the north, east and out of the crowds to the west. And, you know, it wasn't too bad. We had pretty decent weather. The traffic was horrible. Richard, you know this. Destin, Florida is like the official spring break destination for Louisville.
No, it's Louisville South.
It is.
Yeah.
It is. Let me ask you this, Richard. What's your opinion of Buc-ee's, the mega truck stop situation? Are you a Buc-ee's fan? Are you anti-Buc-ee's? How do you feel about Buc-ee's?
I'm neutral on Buc-ee's. I think it's I've been to Buc-ee's. I haven't been to any of the ones in Kentucky. I've been to a couple in Texas. The first time I went to it was like, oh my God, it's like a Flying J or pilot station that's 10 times the size of it. It's pretty overwhelming. I haven't been in about 10 years, so I definitely want to go. I'm actually headed to buy one this weekend, so I might stop on my way back and check it out. But I did promise Maisie I'd go with her. So we might check it out when we go on vacation in a couple weeks. So, but yeah, it's there. It's one of those things. They're bucking the trend on the electric trend. I can tell you that right now.
And yeah, that's for sure.
Yeah. I think I'm pro or neutral on Buc-ee's. I'm not anti Buc-ee's. I mean, I think it's America and it's just America being America.
Yeah.
And Texas being Texas.
Right. Exactly. Honestly. Right. Yeah, for sure. So. Well, I married into a family that loves Buc-ee's, and that's great. You know, I did not know Buc-ee's before I met Elizabeth, but her sister used to live in Dallas, so they were familiar with Buc-ee's. They told me all about Buc-ee's, got to go to my first Buc-ee's, and it was a revelation. And with our kids, literally anytime we pass a Buc-ee's, we have to stop. Coming into this trip that we just went on, we had passed the Buc-ee's once and didn't stop. And it was when we were driving back from Big Bend, and we were going around near San Antonio, and there was one, and we were like, we just need to get back to Austin. I hope these kids don't look up from their devices as we pass this Buc-ee's. And gift of God, they didn't look up and say, we got to stop, we got to stop. But I love Buc-ee's. Their food is good. Like, their breakfast sandwiches, their jerky is amazing. They have great bathrooms, clean, tons of gas pumps so you can just roll right up. So I love it. But I've had a little bit of a turn on this trip. There's a Buc-ee's near Huntsville, Alabama, and we were going to stop at that one. We had mapped it out because McKinley always asks, will we pass any Buc-ee's? So, yep, let's go by Buc-ee's in Huntsville. We're getting close. We're going to fill up gas there. Richard, they were backed up onto the interstate to go to Buc-ee's. Like, I'm not kidding you. Like, not all the way off the ramp, but it was backed up onto the ramp. The parking lot was full. I've never seen anything like it. It was like this convergence of all these people going to and from the beach, and they all stopped at Buc-ee's. And they were all like Tennessee, Kentucky, Ohio, teenagers, middle schoolers. If somebody didn't lose a kid in that chaos, I'm shocked, because it was bananas. And even McKinley was like, okay, this is too much. Let's get a drink and get out of here. So, and on the way back, we did not stop. We were like, we're not stopping. And it didn't look as bad, but I have never seen that. And I've been to a couple of crowded Buc-ee's before, but the novelty of the spring breakers, it was for the spring breakers, was right there in full effect.
Yeah, that is amazing. It's that is one thing I don't look forward to for sure.
Yeah.
So
yeah. So we vacationed. It was great. I want to shout out a product real quick. I'm not getting paid for this or anything, but some friends lent us a cool cabana. Have you ever used one of those, Richard, at the beach? They're fantastic. It's kind of a tent. It's got a center stake that you drive into, that you put in the sand. You'd bury it. You open up the umbrella type thing, and then it has the strips of kind of, you know, the fabric coming down on each corner that you fill up with sand to hold it in place. I mean, it was awesome. We had a great spot. It worked great. Held up in the wind. I mean, like, if you go to the beach much, a cool cabana that's where it's at. And I saw a lot of people with different sort of tenting type options, umbrella type options. That was the best one. That product, I would say 100%. Like, if you're living the good midlife, you can afford a cool cabana when you go on vacation. Do that. It's really good.
Noted, and for sure.
Yeah. And we got to use Elizabeth got me a couple of us a couple of Tommy Bahama beach chairs a couple of years ago. So we got to break those in the first time, which was really cool. Did you when you were a kid, did you go down to that area of Florida very often? Did you go?
We went a lot of different places. When we were in high school more, we went down to Destin and stuff like that. But we went to a lot of different places.
Do you remember? Do you remember on I-65 South or North, either way, but it's the next to last exit before you leave Tennessee and go into Alabama? There used to be a strip club called the Booby Bungalow. Do you remember that?
I don't think so. No.
Oh my gosh. I always wanted to stop there. Like, and I would have little baby kids in the back seat of the car, and I'd be like, you know, I'm tempted to go in there and just grab a t-shirt. You know, Booby Bungalow, man, come on. It's closed now, but, we did find t-shirts, and so my Easter present from Elizabeth was a Booby Bungalow vintage t-shirt. So I'm very, very excited about that. I can't wait to wear that around.
Nice.
Yeah. Nice. Yeah. The Booby Bungalow. So we did that. We were in Destin, had four boys. There were three families, three couples, four teenage seniors there. They were all pretty well behaved, generally. So, I mean, it was boys. So we had a really large house, and so they had this one area that was just theirs, and the moms would go down, you know, every day. One mom would go down and do a little quick sweep, and everybody had food in the bed. One morning, I'm not going to say who, but there was a kid who had a jar of Nutella with a spoon in it in his bed. I swear, you know, sometimes you just want Nutella straight out of the jar at 3 a.m. So that's what you do.
Ain't nothing wrong with that.
Nothing wrong with that. You know, boxes of cereal, Cheez-Its, the whole nine yards. But it was a good time. Went fishing, caught a bunch of Spanish mackerel. They were delicious. Grilled some of that, fried some of it. It was awesome. Had a couple of new beach drinks. Do you like beach drinks, Richard?
I do. I do. When we were in Mexico, I had a couple of piña coladas.
Yeah.
Strawberry daiquiris were always good. So, yeah.
Well, a couple
yeah,
of families.
I don't mind them.
A couple of families introduced us to, we each ended up having a drink that we sort of made that the other ones hadn't had. We did Dark and Stormies, which is kind of our one that we drink at the beach a lot. But this one mom made a drink, which was a can of frozen lemonade. And then you refill the can with tequila. Then you refill it with three Bud Light limes and you mix it up and you get punched in the face and it's real tasty and you don't really see it coming, but it's very tasty. So there's an option for you, friends. Another one, the other friend did, this was a really tasty drink. They used just some Tito's vodka mixed with some diet or low calorie, like cran grape or some kind of a fruit juice like that. And then top it with Fresca. That was really good. That was a really refreshing beach drink. So
I do love a Fresca, and it's just like I do. It's like, I think a couple summers ago, I had like Fresca and some kind of like dark rum was really good.
Yeah.
I do. I like summertime drinks a lot. I mean, if I'm out and about, like at a restaurant or something, if I can get a basil gimlet, that's kind of my
summer
drink.
Oh, those are good. Yep.
And Garage Bar has one of the best in the city for sure. It's nice to sit there and get. I don't like tequila, so I'm out on anything with tequila in it. But anything like, it's nice to get like kind of a fruity buzz, so to speak.
Yeah. And you're right about Garage. Their tonic water that they make homemade is the best in town. It's so good.
Yep,
the gin and
for
tonic
sure.
with that is well, it's delightful. So that was our vacation. It was fun. We're back into it. Everything's good at home. Everybody survived. No injuries. No fights. Everybody got along. Nobody wrecked a golf cart. It was no alligator attacks. Perfect. So it was all good. And with that, let's just move on into what are you watching right now? What kind of TV shows are you into? Movies, books? Oh, I will say I read two books while I was on vacation. I think Elizabeth finished four. I think she finished four.
Oh, yeah, that's right. It's just like, how many did she take down? One for every day? Seven?
I think she took, no, she had seven stacked. I think she took five plus her Kindle. So I think she knocked out four. So, you know, that's pretty impressive.
Crazy, but
I read an Agatha Christie called Curtain. It was not her best, but it was okay. It was the last of her Hercule Poirot books, and then I finished one called Tyranny of the Minority, which is interesting, just kind of a discussion of the political landscape right now. There's about a 40 page chapter in there that really traces how we got to where we are with the political parties and where they are going back to post Civil War, and that's pretty fascinating.
Civil War definitely molded our current political system. I remember that from my my grad school days and political science days.
Yeah,
for
it's
sure.
it's an interesting book, very interesting. So that was it. That was what I read. But are you reading anything? Are you watching anything? Have you watched anything that we all need to know about?
I am. We're watching a couple different things. We're watching. We are two episodes left of True Detective's Night Country.
What do you think?
So meh so far. It's a little anticlimactic, I think. So far,
it starts better than it ends, right? Like it's good at the beginning and it sort of slides as you go.
Yeah, and that's a good way to describe it. We also started watching Palm Royale, which is an Apple show, which is with Kristen Wiig. It's kind of a satire. It's pretty good. She has some funny lines in it. It's pretty entertaining overall. And then we're also watching Manhunt, which is about
how is that? Yeah, the Lincoln thing.
It's to quote my wife, and I will agree with her on this one. It reminds me of a PBS special with actors in it. You know how like they like reenacting.
Yeah, yeah.
So the guy who plays Stanton is really, really good. Everybody else is like, it's like amateur hour.
Okay.
And it's, but I'm gonna listen to the book because it's really fascinating. I mean, I didn't know that at one point they were trying, and I don't know how I missed this in the Shelby Foote series, but at one point there was people convinced that Johnson had something to do with it.
Oh, okay.
Which is interesting. The vice president.
Yeah, right. Andrew Johnson. Yeah.
Yeah, Andrew Johnson. It's like what he had to possibly gain from it and stuff like that. And so, and then I watched The Gentlemen on Netflix. I thought it was really, really good. I enjoyed it. I hope they do a season two. It's Guy Ritchie. He
right.
directs a couple of them, and it's also based off of the movie. There's no connection to them. It's kind of the same principle of like basically growing marijuana underground and stuff like that in
mm-hmm.
England. But and then I am reading a book. I think it's called Rogue Warriors. It's about the foundation of the SAS, the British
Okay.
SAS. It's
Yeah.
really, really good. So
awesome.
Yeah. So I have a lot. I'm doing a lot right now.
Yeah, right. So I have not been watching as much with you know, it being a little bit warmer, a lot of stuff going on to deal with. We did just finish when we got back from vacation, we finished Expats, which I thought was just okay.
Is that with Nicole Kidman?
Yeah. She's almost unrecognizable now, by the way, just as
yes.
a sidebar.
Yes. Yes.
And
too much work done.
everybody
Too
think
much.
What you want, but she's almost unrecognizable. I think the woman that plays the other mom in that is beautiful, and she's awesome. I thought the show was okay, not great, but okay. And like I said, that's one you can sit down with your spouse. Everybody can watch it and be reasonably entertained for an hour at a time. It's pretty good. We're late to the party on Fargo, so we just finished season one not too long ago.
Love it. Love it.
We just started season two, and I love it. It's fantastic. It's really good. So that's what we're in the middle of. I mentioned earlier Shogun, which I am really enjoying, and Elizabeth doesn't like it. It's a little bit too violent, she says, for her, but I think it's one of the best things I've seen in a while in terms of complexity of the characters and the story. And like, you cannot like be on your phone watching that show
Yeah,
because it's too
I agree with
much.
that. Yeah.
You got to pay attention, and I appreciate that a lot. And part of that is because it's subtitled, but you could always put it on dub if you wanted to. And if it was on dub, you couldn't look away. You got to pay attention. I think it's pretty well done. I think the first episode was better than any of the other ones, but I'm still locked into that. So you're watching a little bit of that?
I have started it, and I did exactly what you said not to do. I was kind of, I mean, you have to watch it to like watch the subtitles, and it's just like I just couldn't get into it. So I'm gonna start it again. I got back engaged with Masters of Air. The episode I just finished was better than any episode I saw. I think it was the fourth one. So I'm encouraged the back half of this. Hopefully this gets good. I will agree with you. It's Shogun so far. It's like even in the first couple of minutes, I'm like, okay, this is really good. I really enjoy this.
Yeah, it's well done. The cinematography is great in it too. Beautiful
Yeah.
to watch. It's
yeah.
The costumes are great. It's very, 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 very good.
Yep.
So that's what we're watching right now. I saw something coming out soon that I want to watch. I can't remember it was a second season of something. American Rust. Is that the name of it with Jeff Daniels?
Yeah. Yeah,
Yeah.
that's now on Prime.
Prime. Okay.
Yep.
I haven't started that. I loved the first season.
Yeah, I didn't watch the first season because I couldn't get it. And then for some odd reason, it went over to Prime and now I can get it. So I'm
Yeah.
really looking forward to it.
Yeah. Yeah. The first season of that's really good. So I want to check that out too. All of everything that I want to watch is a little bit dark, and that's not always the lane that Elizabeth wants to be in. But
yep. I'm you and I are in the same line.
Yeah, right.
Yes, so, we're in the same line in that one. Yep, no doubt about it.
But that's okay. That's okay. Yeah. We'll find something to watch and do. So, all right. With that, let's go to one more thing. We got a little bit more time. Richard, you sent me a question that you got on Instagram this week. You want to tee this up for us?
Yeah. So I thought it was a pretty interesting question. It was basically if you could pick of the Quentin Tarantino movies, and those movies are, hang on just a second, let me get to it.
They
Reservoir
are.
Reservoir Dogs, yep, right. Reservoir Dogs, Pulp Fiction, Jackie Brown, Kill Bill 1 and 2. I can't see the other one.
Grindhouse.
Bastards. Grindhouse. Inglourious Bastards, Django, Hateful Eight, and Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. If you had one movie basically to pick and movies to trash, what would you do?
You get to keep one, all the rest go away.
Yes.
So I love Tarantino. He's maybe my favorite director, top five for sure. Love the way he writes, particularly dialogue. So I'm going to go through these, and I'm going to kick out ones that I know I'm going to kick out first. So I'm going to kick out Grindhouse first because it doesn't really even fit here. I'm going to kick out Jackie Brown. It's good, but not that doesn't hold up to the rest. You know, I'm going, I think Inglourious Basterds is overrated. I'm kicking it out. I'm good if that goes away. I'm fine with that. Kill Bill Volume 1, I'm good with getting rid of. I like Volume 2 better, again, because I like the way he writes dialogue. The first one is kind of an over-the-top sort of visual sensation, and he's paying homage to all these Japanese and karate movies and anime. There's all sorts of stuff going on there. So I'm going to pass on that one. I'm going to keep Reservoir Dogs and think about it. I'm going to keep Pulp Fiction and think about it. I'm going to keep Kill Bill 2 and think about it. I'm going to keep Django. I'll kick Hateful Eight. It is criminally underrated, but it is not as good as all the rest of them. But it is a really good movie, and it is a cinematographer. It's beautiful to watch, so I love that movie. And so I'll keep Django, and I'll keep Once Upon a Time. And of that group, as I think through it, I'm probably going to keep Pulp Fiction because it's always rewatchable. It's one that was so groundbreaking in terms of nonlinear storytelling and the edginess and the grittiness of it. It sort of started a whole new trend in filmmaking, that one movie. And so I think it's really important in terms of the arc of filmmaking. So I think I would keep that one. I like all the rest of them, but if I'm going to keep one, I'm going to keep Pulp Fiction with probably honorable mention. Second place may be Reservoir Dogs. Go ahead.
Yeah. I love Pulp Fiction. I mean, I think it was one of the, I mean, it truly is one of the best movies of the 20th century for sure. In my opinion, I think it was great.
Totally agree.
All the way around. It was new. It was different. It was even different than Reservoir Dogs. Mm-hmm. In the storytelling, I mean, he tells a story in a very clunky way, but it's a clunky way with a purpose, and I like that. I'd have to say Pulp Fiction and Django are almost side by side. Like I think they're both great movies. They're both harsh. They are both very difficult, like, things to watch. And then I have to go with Reservoir Dogs. Funny enough, I have never seen any of the Kill Bill. I don't know how. It's like I always see them, forget about them. It's just like I think they're still on Netflix, so I might be able to watch them there.
You need to watch those two. They're yeah, so good. Yeah. I mean, they even one, which is not my favorite. There's so much iconic stuff in there, and again, the way he makes movies is beautiful to watch. So I would say check that out.
Yeah, Inglourious Basterds is a good movie. It's like, I think it's a really, really good movie. I don't know if it's one of my favorite movies he did, but, and I love World War II movies. And it's like, I think there were periods where it just got really long and kind of boring. But And then Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, I think it's a good movie. Still not one of my favorites, blah, blah, blah. So I'm kind of like, I think that's my order. It's just like Django and Pulp Fiction kind of 1A and 1B potentially. And then Reservoir Dogs 2.
Yeah, I get that. I like Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. And I think that is...
I think it's good. Don't get me wrong. The ending is mind-boggling. It's like, oh,
it's so
okay.
Good. It's so damn good.
Yeah, it's like, what the... Okay, well, that's one take on it.
Well,
so,
I think
yeah.
I think of his movies, I think it's one of the ones that could potentially or probably did have the broadest swath of viewers who embraced it. Because a lot of the other stuff is a little fringy. But I think that was a not, I don't even want to call it mainstream, but I think more mainstream audiences gravitated towards it than any of his other things. And I would say this about Django versus Pulp, and this is kind of where I come down then. I think Django is a little bit long and there's a little bit of waste in there and a few wasted scenes. And I think it's one of those things where, you know, when you're younger as a director, you don't always have final cut. You have people who are going to encourage you to take things out, tighten up the movie a little bit. And I feel like that happened with Pulp, and I feel like with Django, he had final cut and could be as self-indulgent as he wanted to wherever he wanted to be. So that's kind of my knock on Django. It's still a really good movie. I really
I
like
will
it.
Agree with you on one thing about that, too. I think right at the end where he is acting in it, it's like, what? Why do you have to be in this? Although he's in all his movies, I think.
Yeah,
it's
for sure.
Like, or most of them. It's like, but it didn't match up very well. But yeah. So
yeah.
I can get that.
And I can watch the scene in Pulp Fiction where Marcellus Wallace is shooting at Butch and he accidentally hits that woman in the butt, and I will laugh every single time. I've seen that scene 50 times, I'll bet. Every time he shoots her, I laugh out loud. It shouldn't be funny, but it's funny as hell. So it's a great movie. I love that movie. Tarantino, he's his own thing, man, and I really dig what he does. It's really good.
Yeah.
So we might do this again with some other stuff.
I think we could do this with Ridley Scott, Spielberg, Christopher Nolan. It's just like we could do this, like this or that. So I'm all for this.
That's a fun option as we go forward, like when we need a topic of conversation. So, all right. Do you have anything else you want to get to before we bust out of here tonight?
Nope. I think that's about it. That's all I have.
Okay, awesome. Well, it's fun to get back to regular format. We've got some great stuff coming up. The Wings are coming up. School is about to be out, which means all of the kids are going to be home. We've got a couple of episodes where we want to do some stuff with all of the kiddos and see. We've got some entertaining things there I think we can get to. I've got an idea for next week that I think will be very good, be very interesting. If you want to come back, we're going to learn a little bit more about Richard and about me, or at least what...
Now I'm nervous.
What some of the personality predictors might have to say. So I'm going to work on that a little bit. We're going to come in. I got a good idea for this. This will be good. And it's going to be great. We're ready for a great summer, back to format. And we're having a good time. So with that, I will say thank you guys for coming on and listening. Thanks, Richard. Always a pleasure. Always fun. And we're going to get out of here. You guys keep living your best midlives. We will keep living ours.